my friend Bethany was visiting her best friend in California in March when the lockdown happened. She ended up staying there 9 months in what was meant to be a week-long visit. She did not, as you can imagine, pack accordingly. It reminds me of that old saying, life is what happens when you're making other plans. I can only imagine Joseph and Mary had days when they grew very tired of life interceding on their plans. First, their trip to Jerusalem, which was meant to be a quick census count visit, and turned out to be a stay in a room that wasn't a room but a stable, because as it turns out, childbirth also happens when you're making other plans. And then they receive a strange visit from Eastern astrologers, complete with a hall of royal gifts and likely an entourage of camels and servants, in addition to the frankincense and myrrh. And in a year that just months earlier included angelic appearances and dreamlike states, I feel like at this point, poor Mary and Joseph deserve some normalcy. Or at least, at the very least, a heads up before the normalcy gets brutally upended yet again. After this year, of course, I think our understanding of normalcy might be forever changed. What even is that? People keep saying, especially as vaccinations begin to roll out, that they can't wait for things to get back to normal. But the whole point of time and history and human experience is that we never really go back. We can only go forward. And forward is always a journey into the unknown. Joseph and Mary learn this lesson better than anyone, I think, if only because the lesson keeps arriving on their doorstep, leaving them no other choice. Because after the Eastern astrologers leave, they discover it's time for them to leave, too. Matthew tells us that Joseph is warned in a dream not to return home, but to take Mary and Jesus to Egypt until further notice. That further notice, when it was all said and done, lasted 2 years. Out of Egypt I have called my son, the text says. Out of Egypt. It just strikes so odd, doesn't it? Not out of Nazareth, which would have made more sense eventually, or out of Bethlehem, not out of Galilee or Jerusalem or a host of other places that would feel at least a little more plausible. Out of Egypt, God says, I have called my son. We don't know a single thing about the Holy Family's 2 years in Egypt. I don't know whether they enjoyed their time there as refugees or if they were treated poorly. Whether they ever, in that whole experience, felt like they remotely fit in. I don't know what Egypt was like for them. To me, though, right now, out of Egypt feels like a whole mood. It feels like code for after the unexpected thing, after the thing you didn't plan for because you would not have wanted it that way. After the thing which, if you had hired a travel agent to plan this for you and this happened, you would fire him and demand your money back. After you meant to just go visit a friend for a week and got stuck there for 9 months instead, like a whole baby's worth of redirection. 2020 has been an Egypt year, hasn't it? I saw the funniest video the other day of a woman just hysterically sharing with us her 2020 goals list. You may have seen it because it went viral. She's this comedian in New York. And her list included things like travel more and be more social. And she said, laughing, I wrote down, don't cry, and yet I've cried every single day of this pandemic. It's so funny. We have to laugh and cry as necessary, because it's been such a totally sideways situation all around. It's been a year when literally everyone's plans haven't worked out. Of course, for the Holy Family, it was far more than just the issue of things working out. The whole reason they were sent on this side journey to Egypt is because King Herod had a bounty on baby Jesus' head, and it was literally not safe for them there. There was turmoil and violence and raging fits of power, three things that haven't been particularly absent in our current year either. The truth is, sometimes the things that knock us sideways are funny, and sometimes they are deadly serious and heartbreaking and unjust. This year, we have endured not just broken plans, but insight into our broken systems. We've seen the pain of injustice and the cries of our siblings of color. We've seen the grief of so many who have lost loved ones in this pandemic. We've seen in our own city an absolutely appalling line of cars awaiting food distribution, and watched the rate of unemployment and poverty continue to rise. It's hard not to feel like we are in over our heads here. This year has been the worst kind of overwhelm. Overwhelm feels fitting for where Mary and Joseph must be at this point too. And it's hard, isn't it, to feel like this part of Matthew, the part that feels ominous with death threats looming over Jesus' head and just a totally unknown future, has anything at all to do with the festive joy of Christmas. Out of Egypt, God calls God's son, but really, nobody wanted to be in Egypt at all. Nobody ever does. This time last year, when I met with my spiritual director, I told her that 2020 was going to be my year of clarity. I said that. I told her that. Is that not a hoot? By mid-January, I had already received a couple of truth bombs because you get what you pay for. And by March, she was like, honey, do you want to change your word? And while the clarity has not come without some pain, I wouldn't actually ever change it. And one lesson that has just become clear over and over again is this. Life does not happen the way we want it to, even if we are people who are used to making life happen on our own terms. We cannot make our plans go our way despite the forcefulness of our will, and we cannot make injustice disappear despite the fervency of our passion and prayers. I imagine this 2020 lesson is one you have received too. Just the sheer overwhelming realization that we are not in charge of the universe. Thank you very much. And that kind of humility, the kind that sets us rightly to ground, where we just accept we're human and not actually the creators of our universes or any universe, is the kind that does lead us to deeper faith. We go to God, not out of desperation necessarily, but certainly out of clarity. There is a God, and it's not us, as they say. That's certainly a kind of epiphany, isn't it? Like when we get to the point where we know that, not just in our heads, but in our bones. It's the kind of humility that allows us to accept that there's no way to get out of Egypt, because Egypt is really just code for human life, and it is never going to be only roses and rainbows. Suffering doesn't offer an escape hatch. It only offers a door. I've probably told you all before that perhaps my favorite thing anyone has ever said about God came from Jürgen Moltmann, who said, "The name of Jesus is a wayfaring name." Jesus makes a way for us across uncharted waters, across the chaos of the unknown, across the chasms of despair and pain and grief and even death. Jesus makes a way for us. And I know that the Psalms also describe the name of the Lord as a strong tower where the righteous run in and they are safe. And that too provides a comfort. But there's something about seeing the name of Jesus as a boat for all of us who are just out here trying to be righteous and failing. There's something beautiful about seeing the name of God not just as a tower, but also as a way to cross over into something new. God's name is a wayfaring name. It is a name that calls to us and ushers us into life when we find ourselves out of Egypt. In the season of Christmas, we proclaim God is with us. And as we move now into the season of Epiphany, we will proclaim God is with us even in Egypt. God is with us to the ends of the earth and beyond, with us, even when we are warring within ourselves, with us, even when we inhabit a nation of unhealthy division, with us, even as we are surrounded by suffering on all sides. Nobody ever wants to be in this kind of Egypt. But isn't it a relief, just a complete and utter relief? You could call it an epiphany, that to our great surprise, Egypt is not off limits to the God of all creation. It is simply one more place where God deigns to dwell. The barriers are illusions, you see. God will call us out of wherever we are, not because of our location, not because of our circumstances or even our well-meaning efforts, but because God is a God who always, without fail, calls us into new life. God could have called Jesus out of anywhere. Maybe it says something important about who God is and who we can trust God to be, that the calling came out of Egypt. What we learn at Christmas and in Epiphany is that our true home is not a location or a building or a set of ideas. It is a name. It is a name so holy we speak it in a whisper, Yahweh. A name so strong we run into it like a tower. A name so faithful it can carry us over whatever choppy waters life brings us. Out of Egypt, God called God's Son. Whatever Egypt has been for you in this year of 2020, I pray you know with all the clarity and faith possible that God calls to you with a name that can hold it all and carry you through it and set you gently upon the shores of new beginnings. Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm.